For our reading and the meditation this morning, I would like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4.
Brate našao da se čita iz prve poslanice apostola Petra, četvrta glava. 1 Petrova, četvrta glava.
For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but to the will of God. And for the time past of our life shall suffice us to have wrought the will of Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings and banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot and speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand, and be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. For every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards and of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, and if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in thy presence do we find ourselves this morning as we approach thy throne with a boldness that was made possible through Jesus Christ our Lord, knowing, O Lord, that thou art interceding on our behalf, thou art praying for us, thou art looking after us, thou, Lord Jesus, who has given thy life for us, who has taken our sins upon thee, who has given us a new birth, who has given us a new purpose in life. We honor thee and we magnify thee, O Lord. And this morning we give thee thanks for all thy goodness that thou hast showered down upon us. O Lord, the blessings that we receive in life oftentimes lead us into a path of feeling that those things are owed to us because of our own goodness or because of what we have done for thee. And Lord, yet in this chapter, the apostle was led by thy Spirit to write to remind us that there is suffering in this life. And it is through this suffering, O Lord, that thou art, as King David has written so many years ago, that thou hast polished us and brought us to the recognition of what and how we are to value life. O Lord, that what is the purpose of our life here? It is to serve thee and to praise thee, to magnify thee, and to point others to none other than to Jesus Christ. Thou, Lord Jesus, who has told thy creation, the ones whom thou didst give the very breath that we are taking, O Lord, that we are to look upon thee, that we are to look upon thy life, the way that thou didst walk, a life of meekness and service, of servitude towards others. O Lord, never standing on thine own right, but O Lord, giving and suffering loss, even as we've been reminded recently, O Lord, that it is when we suffer loss, O Lord, that thy will is being fulfilled. That we'd never, O Lord, seek to establish that we would have a last word or in any way come out as our value is above those of that of others. We pray, Heavenly Father, that through whatever thou dost will that we walk here below, Lord, that our focus, our concentration would be upon thee, Lord Jesus. And when we look to thee, O Lord, thou wilt also provide a way of escape through whatever trial we will go through. O Lord, the promise from thee is that whatever trial will beset us, thou wilt also create a way of escape. Or in other words, a way in which we are able to go through that without succumbing, without succumbing to the flesh and to the evil one who seeks to destroy our souls. We take comfort in that, Lord, but we pray that our faith would be increased, that our faith would increase to such a measure, Lord, that our faith would bring us to a love that would never sadden thee, O Lord, but always seek thy will. And in finding, O Lord, thy will, find a peace and a joy that comes from thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, thou would bless us in this day. Thou hast given us this day a beautiful day that we could come together. It's a beautiful day, O Lord, because thou hast given us a night of rest and thou hast blessed us with this day. And a day that we could come together and thy word is before us and we're together with brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters who united, O Lord, we serve thee and we seek to serve thee. And we seek, O Lord, to uplift one another and to lean upon thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that in this day we would find thee, that through the reading of thy word and through the meditation of thy word, that each of us, O Lord, would be brought closer unto thee. O Lord, that we would be shown a way that thou didst live and that we would find the comforts of a life in thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, thou wouldst bless us one and all. We know that amongst us, O Lord, there are children who need to be pointed to Jesus Christ. There are young men and young ladies who are just stepping out into life, who the devil will seek to dissuade them and to point them into a way that is not a way that thou, Lord, didst trod, a way that will point to an easier way, a way which they don't have to sacrifice anything in this life, O Lord, to follow thee, but just to simply say that they love thee. O Lord, but we know that in loving thee, O Lord, it is a giving of our heart and a giving of our life unto thee. And we pray, O Lord, that thy word would be impressed upon their young hearts, that they would find their joy and their peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would look down upon us with grace and favor. We know, O Lord, it is thy will that thy people would be would have a peace in their hearts and the joy that the circumstances of life, whether it be illness, whether it be suffering of any kind, O Lord, through suffering of a loss of a loved one, through feeling lonely, through feeling, O Lord, overwhelmed by just the pressures of life that oftentimes we even put upon ourselves, O Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would find our comfort in thee and our joy in thee. So abide thou with us, bless us one and all. We ask this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
The Apostle Peter, in writing, he encourages us here that we consider the suffering that Christ had for us. And that he says here that we should likewise with the same mind, for he has suffered in the flesh and has ceased from sin. And that we should arm ourselves with this thought. In other words, if we keep in mind, and I believe the Apostle Paul writes about this as well, that we should keep in mind the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we can do that, many times the problems and the trials and the temptations that we face, we can overcome because we know what he went through, what he suffered for us, which then would give us the strength to overcome as well. And so this is why he encourages us here. Arm yourselves. And in other words, keep this in your minds. And this is what he's saying. Because he says in the past times, he reminds us that we were as Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and so on. And sometimes, you know, those thoughts race through our mind as to what we once were. And so, and of course, we know how the reason that that comes to our mind is because of Satan. He would like to remind us that what a life we used to live. And sometimes it wasn't anything to boast about. But if he can drive that point at home to you or to me and convince us that we were this way, that we never really were changed or we never died to any of this, he'll do that. But that's why he says here, arm yourself with the suffering of Christ. In other words, remember what Christ has forgiven us for those things. And we're not to dwell on them and be reminded constantly as much as Satan was like to do this to us. And so we say within ourselves, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't serve you. And oft times, that has worked very effectively. I know it has for me. So you see, he's encouraging us here that we don't fall back into that kind of a life that we once lived. And if we arm ourselves with the suffering of Christ, we certainly are able to overcome this. And so he goes on to talk about that. He says, but the end of all things is at hand, and be ye therefore sober and watch and pray. And that's so applicable to, I believe, today's day and age. The things that we face, the problems, the trials, the things that are happening in our country, in our government, throughout the world, it seems like there's no end to this. And so it gives us a greater responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ than to, as he says here, watch, be sober, and watch and pray. Watch and pray. So that we don't enter into these problems and these trials and we're overcome and it overtakes us. Because you can get overwhelmed with some of this stuff. Especially if you dwell on any of it. And it can ruin your confidence in the government or the life in itself. And so if we arm ourselves with the suffering of Jesus Christ, it helps us to overcome these difficulties and things that we face in life. And that's the way we do it. Be sober. In other words, think seriously. He's not talking about getting drunk or not getting drunk. He's talking about thinking maturely, thinking of and arming yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can do that, but we've got to be tuned to the leading of the Spirit in our lives. And that's the way I believe that we can do it, is by through being sober and praying. And so he encourages us here. And then he goes on to mention about hospitality. Do it. In other words, we talk about loving one another. We talk about loving Jesus Christ. And yet we can't manage somehow to have a show any hospitality. See, that's wrong. And then he says, if you're going to do it, don't do it grudgingly. Evidently, there were those that thought, I'll have him over, but I don't like him. I don't want to do this, but I'll do it anyways. No, if you're going to do it that way, forget it. What's the use? So this is why he's saying, and by showing love towards one another, that's how we can do it without grudging. Without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so he reminds us of the grace of God that we all experience from time to time. That God's grace is sufficient for us. And if we can arm ourselves with that, we realize that God has forgiven us, has shown his grace and showered upon us. And then we would then, as a return of this, have more of a love and a desire to serve the Lord as well as serve one another and to share hospitality one with another. But all that takes effort. That takes a concentrated renewing of our minds. Because it's so easy to go back into the things that we once did. And pretty soon you get to the feeling, that brother, he said this, or that sister did this, I'm sorry, but I can't handle that. Why can't you? If you can love the Lord, you certainly can love your brother and your sister. And this is the way we have to do it. And many times, that's what it takes. Sometimes if you have this kind of a feeling towards them, one of the probably best ways to do it would be to invite them over to your home or your place for a meal. Have them over just so you can get over this already. But don't do it grudgingly because you're just wasting your time. So I believe that this is what the apostle is encouraging us here. This all is it entails in our Christian walk of life. It's part of it. We need to exercise that. And this is what I believe he's encouraging us here. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, and ever, forever. So you see, when we live a life like this, and we're willing to share, we're willing to love and serve one another, it's only to bring glory and honor to our God. That's the only reason we need to do it. If we're doing it for any other reason, then you're doing it for your own fleshly desires, your own fleshly wants and wishes. It needs to be done through the leading of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to strengthen us in our faith, so that we can live this godly life one with another. And this is what I believe he is encouraging us here, that we can bring glory to Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. And so he goes on to encourage us here. If we run into these problems and these difficulties and with trials, he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. Now, we know that Christ said that you will have trials, you will have problems. And this thought and this thing that's being preached that, just come to Jesus Christ and all your problems are solved and everything's going to be okay. You'll love and everything's nice and smooth. That's a false doctrine. Because if that's the case, then Christ should have never said you're going to have trials. And so Peter reminds us here, if you have these, don't be surprised. And if you think about it, what would it be if we never had any trials? What would this life be? Your faith would just diminish. It just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't be there. So you see, we have to go through these things. And that's why I believe Christ said we're going to suffer for his sake. Now, he talks about it. If you suffer for because of your own doings and your own things and your own glory or whatever, that's no honor to glory to God. And sometimes that can happen to us. We might say things and cause something to happen or do something, and somebody says, oh, yeah, let's see, look at that. And it isn't right. And yet we get criticized or we get suffer verbally about it, whatever it might be. And it rightfully so, if we do it to our own will, if we do it for our own glory and praise. But if we do it according to God's will, and we do it to serve him because we love him, and it happens to us, then happy are we. And don't be surprised if these are going to come upon us, because they will. Rest assured, we all know that by now, especially those of us who have been in the faith at any length of time. We know that these trials come, and they can sometimes overwhelm us. But don't be surprised. That's where I believe that, like they say, where the rubber meets the road. Yeah, that's where our faith meets Jesus Christ. Are we going to put our faith and our trust? Are we going to arm ourselves with the suffering that he went through? Are we going to cling to his promises like he teaches us to do? Or are we going to humble, just, oh, poor me attitude? Oh, I got it. I went through this, and they said that to me. No. Forget it. Move on. Get over it. Get over it. Because the more you linger and dwell on it, it only gets worse. And Satan will see to that. He'll see to that. So he encourages us here, dearly beloved. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's as plain as it can be. If you go through these things and you suffer, remember the suffering that Christ did. And this is what he's talking about when he said, arm yourselves with the suffering of Christ. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and the God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. So he kind of lists some of these things that he's not telling us that we should go ahead and live in these sins, and then we should go through these trials because I'm gonna murder somebody now because I'm gonna see how it's gonna how that much of a trial that'll be for me. No, that don't work like that. Can't. So you see, he's saying here, if you suffer from these things, then they'll talk evil of you, and they should. But these things shouldn't even be in our hearts and in our minds. It shouldn't even, them kind of thoughts shouldn't even be with us. Much less do them and let it happen. And so, and especially in this here busy body in other man's matters. You know what that is? Most people call it gossip. What that is? Gossip. And you know something? I've been told that this church has a gossip problem. It doesn't matter who told me that. But somehow, some reason, this has happened. Gossip. Busy body in other man's matters. You know, sometimes we hear things and we, oh, well, so-and-so told me that. And you, oh, that's a good source. That's a brother or he's a sister. Oh, yeah, that's a good source. Is it? You ever think maybe that person has completely wrong, and then you're going to turn around and say that same thing to someone else? That's what gossip's all about. This is being busy in other man's matters. Brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. This ought not to be amongst the brotherhood. When we hear things like this and we're told stuff, don't take it as gospel, because it may not be the truth. So you see, he warns us of these things because we all face these kinds of problems. We face these kinds of trials. We hear these kinds of things. It's human nature. But it's hard to guard against. It's hard to stand up to. It's hard to avoid. But we're expected to. If we arm ourselves with the suffering of Christ, then we are expected not to be busybody in other men's matters, or a murderer, or a thief, or any of these other things he names. You see, that all entails in the Christian walk of life. And then it says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. And then he goes and reminds us up here in verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. What does he mean? The judgment begins at the house of God. If you think about that, kind of a judgment. Is there busybodies? Is there gossip going on? Is this why we need to be judged? We have to examine ourselves. We have to look at God's word and look, and am I a part of this? Am I doing this? Is this happening to me? And I don't even realize it. These are the kind of questions, because you see, judgment begins at the household of God. You see, people that live outside of the, and that are not converted, they're already judged. But for you and I as believers, that's why he said, judgment begins at the house of God. That's all of us that are partakers of his blood and his faith that we have in him, that we have become one of his children. That's us. And we're going to be, judgment is going to come to us. And then he says, if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? So my friend outside of Christ, what chance have you got? Zip. Nothing. No chance at all. You're already judged. You can't escape it. Unless you take your and turn your life around, surrender to and humble yourself and repent, become a child of God, you're already judged. You're already condemned, because you have not accepted the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so if judgment starts with us, where do you think you stand? You don't stand a chance. Don't stand a chance. But if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You see, we want to look at this, if the righteous scarcely be saved. You know, sometimes we fear that. Sometimes Satan comes to us and tries to convince us that you say you're a Christian, look at you doing, look at you saying, look at you done. You're not, and so you wonder, am I saved? Am I going to go to heaven? Do I have this hope? Where do I stand? But you got to realize, where is that coming from? That's coming from the flesh. That's coming from Satan. And if he can convince us this way, he'll try his every way he can. And, you know, he knows our weaknesses. And this is where he hits us, in our weak spots. And so he can hammer on us with that. And then we begin to think, ooh, scarcely will the righteous be saved. You know why scarcely? It's because you and I, in one way or another, is like the Apostle Paul said, we have become carnally minded and less spiritually minded. And as a result of that, that will give us this feeling of scarcely being saved. Because we have become carnally minded in our thoughts and in our deeds and our actions sometimes. Dearly beloved, don't be afraid of your soul salvation. Or that you're going to, you got to remember that God saved us by grace. He didn't save us by our works that any of us should boast. He didn't save us because we have relatives that have been in the church for years, our parents and grandparents and generations back. We're going to be saved. It don't work that way. It's an individual thing. Each and every one of us are going to give answer for ourselves. Not for what mom and dad did, not for what the church did, not for anything. We will give answer of our own. It's a personal thing. And so you see, we need to realize then that he says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing. So you see, if we can look at this as committing our souls to him, this is what we need to do. And by doing that, we will, in fact, arm ourselves with the suffering of Christ. We will have this love for one another. We'll have this desire then to share and to have hospitality one with another. And as the brother prayed, that we are glad to come and be with each other and serve one another. If we don't have that joy in our heart to come and want to be glad to come and see your brothers and your sisters in the church, I'm sorry, you might as well stay home. If you don't have any desire to come here, you don't have any desire, and you don't want to face this and don't want to be with that one, the wrong attitude. We got to come here with a want and a desire, a love for the Lord, and want to serve him, want to hear his word, and want to share the fellowship one with another. When you get out into the world, you don't get this. There's problems, there's trials, there's all kinds of things out there. It don't give you any consolation much at all. And so we come here. We call this Sunday so that we can relax and we can hear God's word and we can be spiritually uplifted, strengthened in our faith and encouraged one with another. And then we need to be happy and joyful when we come one with another. So as we read and understand the scriptures, as the Apostle Paul or Peter wrote about it, let us be encouraged. Let us arm ourselves with the love of God. Let us arm ourselves through his suffering, and that we might be his children, walking pleasing in his sight. Amen.
I was deeply disturbed this morning in listening to the word being preached and reading this chapter. There's a verse here that says, above all things, above everything, whatever your goals are in life, whatever you're seeking to do, whatever you are doing, above everything, above all things, he says, have a fervent charity. This word fervent, it means unstoppable. There's no stopping it. It cannot stop. It is a force that cannot be stopped. This is what you and I are to have amongst one another. An unstoppable force of love, charity, kindness in Christ Jesus, one towards another. Yet we heard something today. There's an accusation that was made against the church, a body of believers, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that this church is a gossiping church. I don't know who said that. If it was a, there's two classes of people that are here. Two, a non-member, one who is outside of Christ, and a member, one who claims he is in Christ. That's it. If a non-member made that accusation against a body of believers in Jesus Christ, one, you are without excuse, my dear friend. If you're looking to see the failures of me or of someone else to hinder your progress in Christ, you will not be found with an excuse in that judgment day when you stand before a righteous and a holy God. If you've heard the way of Jesus Christ, his way is a way of fervent charity. I have failed, maybe, and my brother and my sister may have failed, but the Lord Jesus never failed, and he is the one that we are to look to. But if my light has been extinguished because of sin, I will give an account for that before God Almighty. That should leave none of us here feeling good. We should never say, well, that person was told. None of us probably sat here and said, well, that was me. Is that me that someone sees that as? But if that was a member in Christ who made that accusation, he is not guiltless, or she. Because Jesus Christ gives us a clear path. A clear path. Because when you accuse an entire church of being a gossiping church, you become a gossiper yourself. It's what you have become. Because the Lord Jesus gives a clear path of what we are to do. If I have a fervent and unstoppable love for you, and I hear that you are a gossiper, I will come to you. Or I hear you gossiping to me, I will say, brother, sister, let's go talk to this brother. This needs to stop. I have such a love for you that I will not let this stop. I will not let this go away. I will not simply say, well, gossips. Can't do that. I don't have fervent love. If that is me, I don't have love. This fervent love that cannot be stopped. This is what Peter is speaking of when he fervently was in prayer when he was supposed to die the next day. He says he was fervently in prayer, nonstop. Nonstop, we are to show this Christian love one for another. This is what will cover a multitude of sins. How does it cover it? Because I've taken you out of that sin. I've taken you out of that sin. I've led you back to Christ in the way that he is in and on. And the sin then of gossip will be covered. Why? It becomes it's repented of. It's forgiven. It's over. Yes, he puts that, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you go to jail, don't be ashamed if it's because you're a Christian. However, if I broke the law and I was speeding, driving recklessly, and I slammed into somebody and injured them, and I go to jail for that, I should be ashamed. I should be ashamed. But if I'm there because Jesus Christ lives in me, never to be ashamed. Yes, I have to pay the penalty for what I have done. And the law says these are the consequences if you break this law. I should be ashamed of what I did. There were two men that were on a cross with Christ. They were robbers, thieves, murderers. And it says here, if you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters, this he puts it all together, equates all of that together as a murderer. This is written in the time when murder was commonplace. You would kill somebody if they did something to you or your family. That's vengeance, revenge. It was everywhere. And it was those two men that were on the cross also, those murderers. They'd killed people.
Barabbas was supposed to have died because he killed people, zealots against Rome, and so on. And Peter himself says in the previous chapter, have a good conscience. Have a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed. Not you as an evildoer, but that they would be ashamed who accuse you of being an evildoer. Why? Because you're not one. He says, let them be as evil, that they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. This is what we are called to. Where are we? Where are we, brothers and sisters? Fervent, unstoppable, unquenchable, a force that cannot be reckoned with. The force of God's love. That it would be reigning within us, driving us, moving us forward, pointing the nations to the Word. Amen.